Good morning, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick J., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Tuesday, July 28th, 2026. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics on page 54, the second paragraph beginning with Imagine Life Without Faith, and we will be reading that one paragraph ending with At Least So the Chemist Said. Today's readers are Mary F., the 12 Steps, Jen P., the 12 Traditions, and our Big Book readers are Julie G. in the text, Shanna C. on page 164, and Ken W.H. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Julie M., and our second hour moderator is Robin L. The share IDs for Monday, July 27th, 2026 are, and I forgot to write those down, so if you'll give me just a second, I will get those. Okay, so the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,667, and the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,668. That's 23,667 for the 7 a.m. and 23,668 for the 10 a.m. Okay, OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary F. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Rick. This is Mary F., a compulsive overeater calling in from Virginia. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Mary. All right, I'll now ask Jen P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hey, good morning, Rick. This is Jen P. from New Jersey, grateful, abstinent, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants who do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and proceeds divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, Rick.
Rick, we can't hear you.
Rick, star one. Why doesn't whoever's supposed to read the traditions go ahead and do that?
The traditions were just read. I'm going to go ahead and read the. That's okay. We're on page 54, the second paragraph. This is Julie G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania, and I will go ahead and read and share. Imagine life without faith. We're nothing left but pure reason. It wouldn't be life. But we believed in life. Of course we did. We could not prove life in the sense that you can prove a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. Yet there it was. Could we still say the whole thing was nothing but a mass of electrons created out of nothing, meaning nothing, whirling on to a destiny of nothingness? Of course we couldn't. The electrons themselves seemed more intelligent than that, at least so the chemist said. I find this whole part of this chapter, the whole chapter, I have experienced in a new and deeper way with the current recovery that this power greater than myself has brought me to in the past year. Bill and the other writers or fellows who helped him edit this text chose to convey the power of their own experience through this beautiful prosaic writing. And I am reminded once again that they did it not to be considered great writers, not for personal gain, not for profit motive, but out of pure altruism. They wanted to convey the power of what had occurred in their lives. I think of Bill W. writing this paragraph. He was on death's doorstep. He didn't know it, maybe. He suspected it because he was fearful that he was going to jump out of a window. He was terrified. And Ebby showed up and carried with him this visual, this visceral living example of someone whom the power of God had, you know, snatched from the gates of death and transformed. And Bill grasped onto that. And he, you know, is sharing these passages, I think, just to reassure us. We don't have to understand. I don't have to understand God. I don't have to have a complex, thorough, and detailed comprehension of God. But I do have to recognize, and Bill recognized, he could not take credit for what had happened to him. And I can't take credit for it either, any more than I can take credit for the birds singing or the waves crashing on the shore. I know that what I have experienced has been a powerful disease, a condition that has plagued me all my life. And having been moved to gain abstinence and to work these steps, moved by all of you who are recovered and sharing every day on this line, I have...
That's time, Julie.
Thanks. I've come in contact with a power greater than myself, yes, but greater than this disease. And I'm grateful to share on this passage I pass.
Well, thank you so much for getting us started, Julie. And thank you, everybody, for stepping in and continuing on. I somehow got bumped off. I was talking away and realized that I was no longer connected. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. All right. Who would like to share on what was read this morning?
Riska R., Maryland.
Riska R.?
Colleen M.
Colleen M.
Teresa A.
Teresa A.
Gail M. Jersey.
Okay, Gail. All right. Who else? Plenty of room to share on this beautiful paragraph. Well, we're going to go with the names I have, and then we'll get more names. And this is who I've got. Riska R., Colleen M., Teresa A., Gail M. Riska, you are up, followed by Colleen. Go ahead, Riska. And when you introduce yourself, please remember to include where you're calling from. Riska, hit star one to unmute.
Okay, I wasn't unmuted. Thanks so much, Rick, for your service, and Julie for jumping in there and giving such a powerful lead share. It's Riska R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Maryland. I love these lines. Could we say the whole thing was nothing but a mass of electrons created out of nothing, meaning nothing, whirling onto a destiny of nothingness? The electrons themselves seemed more intelligent than that. You know, these electrons are just doing what they were created to do. And I think everything in this world, except for us humans, just, you know, does what they're supposed to be doing. Like animals do what they're created to do. You know, a giraffe doesn't start questioning whether it should be a hippopotamus or, you know, if it should eat vegan or paleo, or, you know, doesn't struggle with thoughts of not being a good enough giraffe. You know, it it does what it was created to do, be a giraffe. You know, what separates me from everything else in this universe is that as a human being, I have this godly power of choice. And that's why I think this disease wants to rob me of this power, because it wants me to stay in the dark so that it can have power over me. And I think restoration to sanity means restoring my power of choice. So how do I get back this power of choice? You know, I don't think God, like, bops me on the head with a magic wand and says, like, okay, here's your power of choice. I think I first have to start making choices that I think are aligned with God's will. You know, I have to start practicing what makes me human. And the first choice is choosing to open my eyes and see reality, you know, that on my own I am powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. And it could look manageable from the outside, but I know the insanity inside, you know, thinking about food all the time, hating living in my body, eating in a way that hurts me and drains my life instead of supporting it. And then I get to choose to open my eyes to a power that can restore me to sanity. And I heard that God is not a noun, a person, place, or thing. God is a verb, an experience. And all I have to do is be willing to be open to that experience. It says in the Song of Songs, open for me an opening like the eye of a needle, and I will open for you openings which carriages can enter. You know, I think it's saying that, you know, God asks only for the smallest sincere effort. And then God provides the strength and the power and the relationship that gives my life value, because then I get to do what I was created for. And there's no greater joy than that, being the human that God wants me to be. And with that, I pass. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you so much, Chris Garb from Maryland. All right, Colleen M., you are up next, followed by Teresa. Go ahead, Colleen.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Thank you for your service. Thanks, everyone online doing service. My name's Colleen M. I'm grateful, recovered compulsory eater in Maryland. And I don't have anything really profound to say, but I just really was inspired by the first share, Imagine Life Without Faith. And I cannot, and isn't that what faith is believing in something that we don't understand. And I definitely, you know, don't understand my higher power, which I choose to call God, but I have experienced it over and over and over again. Even when I was wanting no parts of it, I was still experiencing. And for me, that's kind of how my recovery has had to go. I have a lot of head knowledge. I read a lot of books, a lot of self-help, all this stuff, years and years. It never did me any good until I let go, surrendered, and started following the instructions given to me by the people that had recovered from this hopeless state of mind and body. And it was by faith that I took that first step. Like, you know, they people told me to follow a food plan, you know, put my food on a scale, stop eating certain things that might be causing an allergic reaction in my body. And those things started working. And I didn't come here to get spiritual. I didn't come here to get a relationship with God. I had already decided that this God thing was not going to work for me. But as the weight started falling off and, you know, things in my life started improving through working this step, you know, I couldn't give myself credit for that anymore, because I know that I was powerless. I finally conceded to my inner self that I was powerless. And no human power was going to be able to help me. So where was I to be? God is either everything or he is nothing. And, you know, I just took that leap of faith. I'm going to just choose to believe that God is everything. And that was where I made my beginning. And I cannot imagine life without faith. And I don't want to ever imagine life without faith again. So thanks for letting me share, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you, Colleen M. from Maryland. Teresa A., you are up next, followed by Gail M. Go ahead, Teresa.
Good morning, all. This is Teresa A., also in Maryland. Thank you. Imagine life without faith. I can't. I really cannot, right? We're nothing left but pure reason. It wouldn't be life. And Bill's right. It wouldn't even be life if we didn't have faith. That's because there are things that I cannot contain, and there are things that I cannot explain. You know, life, what makes life life is that there are things like miracles. There are synchronicities. There are mysteries. And these are things that cannot be explained as simply as the distance between two points. And even here, he talks about, you know, even the chemists who study the electrons, they say that there's more to it than that. And when Bill sat down to speak with Ebby, he started musing about, you know, life. And, you know, this paragraph actually reminds me of what he's thinking to himself on page 10 in Bill's story. You know, he says, my intellectual heroes, the chemists, the astronomers, even the evolutionists suggested vast laws and forces at work. Despite contrary indications, I had little doubt that a mighty purpose and rhythm underlay all. How could there be so much of precise and immutable law and no intelligence? I simply had to believe in the spirit of the universe, who knew neither time nor limitation. And that's the thing. We're talking about faith here. We're not talking about necessarily religion. And there are people who have soured on, you know, faith or higher power because of experiences with organized religion, the things that they can touch and see that maybe disappointed them at various parts of their lives, that failed them at various points of their lives. But even beyond that, you know, there's something greater than that. And that is what gives us life. And thankfully, in this book, we're able to see that. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Teresa A. from Maryland. All right, Gail M., you're up next, and we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Gail.
Hi, everybody. Gail M., very grateful, recovering compulsive overeater in Jersey. Thank you, Rick and Julie, everyone on the line doing service and sharing. I cannot imagine life without faith or hope. Even in good times and the darkest hours in my life, I have prayed for guidance. However, that alone was not enough. With the food, that wasn't enough. I had to turn my food and will with food over. And, you know, through the big book and the guide and the 12 and 12, day 21, work in step four with my sponsor, very grateful, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Gail M. from New Jersey. All right. So before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 54, the second paragraph, beginning with Imagine Life Without Faith, and reading through that one paragraph ending with At Least So the Chemist Said. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Who else would like to share on what was read this morning?
This is Wygia in Maryland.
Hey, Wygia, could you spell that for me?
W-A-J-E-E-H-A. Last letter is E. Last name letter, E.
Thank you, Wygia. Who else?
Suzanne M., Warminster, Pennsylvania.
Suzanne, did you say M?
Yes.
Okay. Got you, Suzanne. Who else?
Bonnie B. from Minnesota.
Got you, Bonnie.
Holly H., Ohio.
Did you say Holly?
Yep.
Nancy P.
Got you, Nancy. Okay, we got room for more. Okay, we will go with this group. Here's who I've got. Wajia E., Suzanne M., Bonnie B., Holly H., and Nancy P. Wajia, you are up first, followed by Suzanne. And just remember to introduce yourself and include where you're calling from. Go ahead, Wajia.
Thank you. This is Wajia, recovered in Maryland. In Maryland, too. Faith, I just Googled. You know, sometimes you think you know. Well, of course I know what that means. let me just check, you know, God Google. And God Google says faith is a present trust and belief in what is real or true, while hope is a competent expectation of a good future. Well, as an adult, thinking about that now, I used to think hope was, gosh, I hope I get that. And that was it. If I got it, I got it. If I didn't, okay. I hoped I would. But faith is present trust and belief. First, I have to trust. Took a long time in life. I had more mistrust than I did trust. So for faith to be a present trust, meant I have to have this faith thing all the time? No, not all the time. Because if faith was real, God wouldn't have made me fat and fatter. And I wouldn't have had a bad marriage. And I wouldn't have had an ugly job. But faith is a present trust. So I'm trusting I'm going to be okay. I trusted, back to OA one more time. One more time. You don't have to open your mouth or get on. Just go. Because faith was present. And of all the things that had happened in my 68 years, here's 69, and I finally picked up faith. Faith is a present trust. My key word is present. And as long as I stay present, which means sponsoring someone, being available to sponsor someone, that means I need to stay abstinent. My faith is that I have a sponsor. My faith is that I can do this, not just Nike, do it. My Gia can do it. Grateful to be here today, and I pass.
Well, thank you, RGA E from Maryland. Suzanne M., you are up next, followed by Bonnie B. Go ahead, Suzanne.
Good morning, everyone. Suzanne M. from Warminster, Pennsylvania. Rick, thank you for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. Imagine life without faith. Exclamation point, right? To exclaim something like, wow, I can't even imagine life without faith. Somebody had said faith is believing in the unseen. And I always talk about faith. I always say, you know, you really only have to, for me, you only have to have faith that one.
Suzanne, we lost you there. Can you try to get back on? Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to go to Bonnie B. and unless Suzanne can get back on. If not, we'll see if she's back on after Bonnie B. shares. Suzanne, are you back?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I hear you.
So I don't know where I cut it out, but faith. So like faith, somebody said it's believing in something without seeing it. And for me, I always say, you know, faith only takes that one time, because once I have that faith, I do see the result. And as long as I continue to have that faith, I do see the results. What are the results? That I've been miserable and feud my entire life, right? And nothing could help me. I've been clean and sober for 18 years, and God helped me with that. But yet, I never thought to turn to Him for this. And I've been in program coming up on 9 years, and it's taken me 8 of these years to really figure out to put my faith in God. And with that faith comes, you know, the sanity, you know, listening to people, taking direction, having a food plan, using a food plan, having a sponsor, using a sponsor, working steps, living.
I'm so sorry, Suzanne, we've lost you again. Okay, Suzanne, I think we're going to go on to Bonnie B. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I will just finish with, faith has seen me through this program, and God has relieved over 100 pounds for me. And none of these things are possible until I just began believing in him and asking him for help and putting my faith and trust in him. And since I've done that, my life is a miracle today. So I thank you all and have a great day.
Well, thank you so much, Suzanne M. from Pennsylvania. Bonnie B., you are up next, followed by Holly H. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Rick, for your service. Thanks for all the shares. Amazing. Bonnie B., gratefully recovered by the grace of God today, living in the state of Minnesota. You know, my husband is a chemical engineer, and so he's a science guy. And when I first met him, and he would talk about, truly, he would talk about, like, the stars and the orbits and the electrons and all that kind of stuff, it just went in one ear and out the other. It was almost like it was too much for me. And I hate to say, well, I mean, I probably am, I'm a simple-minded person. That felt overwhelming to me. And yet this idea of having no faith, I can't imagine having no faith. One of my favorite sayings is, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. When I came into this program, I had a hope, right? And when I listened to other people, I heard in their voice, I saw in their eyes that they were living a life that I wasn't living. Even though I wanted people to believe I was living it, I wasn't living it. There was no peace. There was no joy at that central core spot within me. I had a faith in the God of my understanding, which is, you know, I call God, but I did not have the fruits that come from it. I can't imagine not having that to anchor to. Without faith, there's no hope. Without hope, what do I have? And so how many times have I gone through these steps? Oh, a fair number. How many sponsors have I had? Again, a fair number. If I didn't have faith that this worked and faith that God wanted this for me because this was his highest design, and if I didn't anchor to the evidence of things not yet seen, and I uppercase the word yet because I know it's God's design for me, I would not have come back. And so for anyone that's out there that's in relapse, maybe going through the steps yet again and thinking, oh, my word, am I ever going to get this? The answer is yes, 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 yes. Just keep coming back. Keep leaning in. Keep looking up. And little by little, things change. And little by little, I was able to see things differently than I had seen them before. The change is slow for many of us. It was very slow for me. But without faith, I would have left the rooms and not come back. And that would have meant death for me because I absolutely have this DNA. And this is the last house on the block for me. So I'm so grateful for all of you for this beautiful program and for your service. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Holly H., you are up next, followed by Nancy P.
Hi, this is Holly H. From Cleveland, Ohio. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. And I love this whole portion of the book. And I think Bill and the others who helped and proofread and gave ideas were geniuses about how everything works, you know, upon the last paragraph and the paragraphs before. Because, you know, we've spent the first few chapters of talking about how our efforts, our reason, have failed us, and I know for me that is so true. I tried everything at my disposal, and was utterly demoralized in this disease. And so in this chapter, for those who have problems with the God word and the God idea and who have lived without an idea of God, he's establishing, you know, that we all have faith. We it's, you know, it's misplaced a lot of times and it's placed in things that maybe we never thought we had faith in. He gives lots of examples, but he's trying to get us to the point where that the things that we had put faith in are just signs of a greater, you know, a greater being, a greater thing out there that loves us and wants to help us, but we don't stop at the signs. You know, if I'm driving on the highway and I see a sign for a hotel and I need to stop and stop for the night, I don't drive to the sign and get out and be like, oh, I made it. This is great. I'm going to just stay right next to this big post with this sign on it. No, I go into the hotel that the sign is pointing to. And so I believe Bill and the others were, you know, letting us know that these signs are all pointing to a God idea. And now he comes back again to, like, what if there's no faith? What if all there is pure reason? And we already know that our pure reason and the reason of the internet and the reason of all the books we've read and all the diet plans we've tried to follow and everything got us to where we are. And it got me to where I was, which was, you know, 75 pounds overweight and hating life, hating my existence. And I was a spiritual follower of God. But I just didn't, it took me a year and a half in program to realize I didn't trust God. and I thank everyone here who had a concept of a higher power, and because they've helped me so much to realize that, hey, I need to realize that I need to stop and I need to trust.
You don't know. And I spent the day finally with Chris and his wife. But I hardly see that.
Anyway,
like, it's all last
somebody's
minute.
Unmuted.
I don't know
Sorry.
What's going to happen.
Are they still in Philly?
Yeah, but they were in
someone's unmuted. If you could go ahead and hit
nice.
Star one.
I didn't plan to spend the day with the in-laws. You know, it's kind of like you don't know what you're supposed to do.
Sorry, switchboard. Could you go ahead and mute that for us?
Yeah. So it was a very good icebreaker because it wasn't planned, so they didn't have to, like, hook the kind of sat on the beach. And the kids
I'm so sorry, Holly. We'll try to figure this out
Everything
here.
Is, like, different.
Yeah, we need to get that line
good.
Muted, please.
Have to be able to stay here.
Well, until Jim retires. I don't want. I said, Jim, I'm not cleaning upstairs. I'm like, there's no one here. It's a big dust thing. I don't know where
we're
going.
Oh, my goodness.
I will not That's what I said. Where are we going?
Right. First, I was like, oh, I'll go to New England with Francesca, but now they're not going to
okay.
stay in Rhode Island. I don't know.
Switchboard, we need some help.
No, it's the great.
So person who just said New England,
honestly,
please mute.
Half the year.
Not could everyone please
I
hit star one?
I don't know. It's just very
mute your
simple.
Phone.
I don't know.
Whoever's talking about Jim and in-laws, and I don't know what's going on, could you please mute?
Are you walking this way? Are you good?
She might be done. You
want to
go home?
I'm going to go to the
apparently park. They can't hear us. Okay, that took care of that.
Okay. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you, Holly.
Okay.
Please continue. now I don't hear you, Holly. Hit star one again to unmute.
Okay. That took a while, so I'm
here
just going to finish up with, I'm just going to finish up with thank God for faith. Thank God for growing a trust in a higher power and for this big book and the steps and everything that's bringing me to my knees and walking out the faith that I had before I got here. Okay, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Holly H. from Ohio, and thank you for your patience. Nancy P., you are up next, and then we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, good morning, Rick. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you for letting me share. I didn't have like a huge thing in mind to share about, except that I am not a woman of faith in terms of, you know, God. I'm not even a woman of faith in terms of, you know, anything. My lived experience when I finally recovered from the inability to stop eating compulsively and hurting myself in all ways with food was that when I surrender, what I need comes to me. And so far, I've not ever felt the presence of anything other than, not reason, but like, why do I need to know? You know, that's the thing. I just spoke at a meeting the other night, and there was a Q&A after it, and someone said, you know, I made sure that the people that invited me knew that I was agnostic so that there wasn't going to be a whole lot of God stuff. And the person that asked me said, oh, this will be important for you to, you know, communicate that. And, you know, what I find, you know, as I articulate this over and over to people that call me up and ask me, or if I get a question at a meeting or something like that where I speak, excuse me, is that, you know, what's, who do you surrender to? And my attitude, my response is, why do I need to know that? It's not, it's a closed loop that way. If I know that I'm surrendering to something and then I, something helps me to surrender, it's like that. I don't, you know, whatever it is that, that keeps me sane, happy, useful, helpful, serene, you know, that's what I'm interested in. And, it, you know, sometimes it switches from one thing to another, as long as, you know, as long as I keep up what I'm doing. And, you know, I have very particular things that I do. The most important thing that I do on a daily basis is I stay in touch with other compulsive overeaters, because that's what the book says is the most effective. You know, we have found that nothing contributes more to the rehabilitation of these men than the altruistic movement now growing up among them. You know, it doesn't say a great food plan or a kick-ass sponsor or any of that stuff. It says to be talking to other compulsive overeaters. The other day I called one of my friends and I said, I had a, you know, something happened, someone said something that I didn't think that I needed to know, and my brain was all bent out of shape, not bent out of shape, but it was careening around, like moving swiftly in an uncontrolled direction. You know, and I needed someone to help me figure it out. I personally did not need to say, please remove this from me, or whatever people say when they pray. You know, I don't do that. And I got way more relief from talking to my friend and put it to bed for once and for all, you know, in that way. Like, you know, it's the most amazing thing. And, you know, I don't consider that reason is the be-all, end-all. I have no, I'm not smart or, you know, like, you know, trust me on this. Yep, I'll finish up. You know, I work with scientists and scholars, and they're way smarter than me. And I have found, you know, my five pillars just through surrender. And what are they? And I'll wrap up with this, Rick. You know, I'm happy, joyous, and free. I don't hurt myself with food under any circumstances. I help other people. I comprehend the word serenity, and I know peace. So it's there for everybody. Figure out the best way to get there. And if faith is the way, bully for you. And if it's not, give me a call. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. All right, we've got room for, let's go with a couple more names, and then we'll see where we're at. Go ahead. Who else would like to share? Maybe get
Tara T. Yes, New York.
Was that a Tara?
No, it was Sarah with an S like Sam.
Sarah P.
T is in Tom. S, New York.
Okay, got you, Sarah T. Who is that from New York?
Elaine S.
Got you, Elaine.
Deanne F.
Sarah G.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry. I had two names right there. Who were they again?
Deanne F. in Sarah. New York.
Okay. It was something like a, was it Leanne?
It's Deanne, Rick, with a D. Deanne F. in New York.
Okay. Deanne? And then there was one other person with you that I keep missing. I'm so sorry. Who else was trying to get on there along with Deanne? Okay, well, we're going to go with these names. Sarah T., you are up next, followed by Elaine S. And just remember to introduce yourself and include where you're calling from. Go ahead, Sarah.
And then you'll be followed by Elaine S. Hi, thanks so much for your service. So sorry. Thank you so much for your service and for everyone sharing. I'm Sarah T. calling in from Louisville, Kentucky. And I mostly wanted to come in and claim my seat because I've been lurking and listening and not sharing for the last little while. And I just really appreciated the shares this morning. So I wanted to come in and say hello. And, you know, I was thinking, I don't think of myself as I was going to say I don't think of myself as reasonable. That's actually kind of true. I don't think of myself as a scientist or someone who's overly smart in that way. I'm an artist. And I've always had a sort of faith. But I think that what's striking me about this paragraph is that I can't reason my disease. And I think I try. I try to apply a reason and practicality and control to my disease. And boy, oh boy, does that not work for me. For me, what works is the God idea. What works is an 11-step practice and connecting to power. And I needed to come on here and say that because I will share with you all that July has been a little bit wild. I've traveled. It's been really busy with work. There's been a lot of birthdays and celebrations. And I'm abstinent, but I've been trying to reason my abstinence. And this paragraph this morning reminds me that I don't want to imagine my life without faith. I know. I know what it's like trying to navigate this disease without access to a power greater than myself. And I really don't want to mess with that. And so I have some time off this week, and I was sharing with a fellow this morning on an outreach call. You know, I think I was like, you know, what I realize I'm craving these days is quiet. And she said, oh, do you mean like an 11th step? I was like, what do you know? What do you know? And I appreciate what someone else shared earlier about connecting with our fellows, because I always hear the truth that I don't see for my own self. I hear from you all. And I'll just kind of give up some of my time and just say I'm really grateful to be here, and I'm grateful that you all are here every morning. Thanks so much for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Sarah T. from Kentucky. All right, Elaine S., you are up next, followed by Deanne.
Hi, this is Elaine S. from New York, and I really love the shares. I really love the shares. So appreciate the gifts that were given or are given to me every day because I have faith. And faith in what? Faith in a higher power, faith in a creator. God is a word. That is just a word that we use. And I know I can never come anywhere near understanding God, but I have experienced God, and I experience God in so many ways every single day, looking at the sky, looking at the trees, at the mountains, at the rivers, at the oceans that I've had to be, I've been lucky enough to live around over in my life. And it's faith. What faith is to me is that I learn I'm not alone. God has proven God's self to me. Higher power, whatever word anybody wants to use, has proven, I say God, God's self to me because of the peace and ease that I have experienced coming from somebody who was jittery, fearful, never able to really relax, to someone who, if you listen to my voice, it's calm. That's not how my voice used to be. I was always talking quickly, blah, 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 blah. Had to get all my ideas out. No, I can listen now. And as my faith has grown, what has grown is, some people use the word surrender, and that's fine. It's the pause. It's the getting quiet. It's listening for God's loving direction. My faith is that God is with me all the time. I need to pause and ask God for the next right thing to do. And what I've gotten, oh my goodness, what I've gotten is this incredible world to live in, this incredible fellowship, this incredible meeting, incredible fellows that I get to talk to every day that value what I have to say, and I know that what I have to say comes from God. It's for me to hear as well as other people. It's, you know, humility. I have to stay in humility, and, you know, it's just, I know this, and how am I reminded about this? my prayer and my prayers and meditation each morning. I have many pages that I've created of beautiful prayers from our program, from my religion, ones that I've written, and they remind me of the principles. They remind me of the kind of person I want to be and the gifts that I've gotten. So I am full of gratitude. There's no question in my mind that there is a loving higher power there that guides me, that directs
That's
me.
That's Tom Elaine.
And I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Elaine S. from New York. Deanne, you are next, and please remember to include the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from. Go ahead, Deanne.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Good morning, everyone. This is Deanne F. Excuse me, F like Frank, and I am in New York. And, wow, you know, I was, there's just so many things I want to say. And, of course, I was trying to make an acronym, you know, for FAITH, because I love an acronym. and there was another acronym that I heard this morning that actually I heard in a completely different way this morning. You know, I was told when I didn't think that my disease was that bad, that there is a slogan kind of, but it's really a word, which is YET. And what that stands for is you're eligible too. So if it hasn't gotten that bad yet, or because I have a disease that is constantly minimizing, that the word YET, I always thought of as a warning. But when you turn it the other way and you think about FAITH, when you use the word YET, it's like you're eligible too for FAITH. And I really encourage, you know, I started doing it for myself, and I encourage with, you know, women that I walk this path with to have a journal that is just specifically devoted to miracles. And miracles are really where there is some divine energy or intervention. Like, miracles can't just happen with humans. This is my experience. So there has to be that you know, intervention there. And so we start to actually look for evidence, not evidence of the lack of a power that cares for me, but actually the presence in signs, in symbols, in reading, in music. And this is really something that for me, it is actually practical application. This is how this power, you know, communicates with me. And when we seek, we actually find. So do I want to seek evidence that, you know, there isn't power, or do I want to ask to be shown in all the different ways that there is a power greater than me that does care? So that's what I got. Thank you.
Well, thank you, DNF from New York. And we've got time for about a minute and a half share if somebody wants that.
Sarah G. from New Jersey.
You got it. And what was your name again? Sorry.
Sarah with an S. Sarah.
Okay, G. Sarah G.
Yeah.
Okay. From New Jersey?
Yes.
You go right ahead, Sarah.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Sarah G. from New Jersey, recovering compulsive overeater. I remember, like, life without faith, that's like such a crazy thought for me. I remember being in high school and being on the bus with friends, and we truly were trying to figure out if there was a God or not. We were very, very intelligent high schoolers. And we came to the conclusion that it was really just a crutch, and people who need crutches use it. And we had no bad feelings towards anybody if someone needs a crutch, but we wished we could have faith. But we were very smart, and we knew that it was just a crutch. So that was that. And then
I went to college and I had a boyfriend and he was pre-med, and we got in touch. We found there was an organization, a religious organization on campus, and we got involved with that. And through his science and learning all the things that he was learning, and this organization that helped us understand more, we came a little bit smarter or stupider, and we came to realize that there really is a God. And that really, as I've heard so much on this line today, the fact that it just took so much worry off of me, because it was very scary in high school. The world was going to end.
The
solution. Okay. With that, I pass. Thank you. I'm very grateful for all of you and for my higher power, and we should just hear good news from everybody. Be well. I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Sarah G. from New Jersey. All right. And thank you to everyone for all of your poignant shares this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, July 28th, 2026, is 23,672. That's 23,672. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shanna C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Thanks, everybody, for a great meeting. Thank you, Rick, for your service. I'm just getting to the page here. Let's see. Thank you for your patience. My book closed. Okay. All right. Here we go. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.